Welcome to the Tournament Poker Edge podcast, brought to you by TournamentPokerEdge.com, the only podcast dedicated exclusively to poker tournament strategy. Now here's your host, Clayton Fletcher.
Hello once again, everybody, and welcome to the Tournament Poker Edge podcast, sponsored by ACR Poker, where right now the big news is the $5 million Venom PKO. It's a $2,650 buy-in. We have satellites running round the clock. We have a $5 million guaranteed prize pool, and the bounties in this thing, the progressive bounties, start at $625 and go way, way up from there. I cannot wait to play the Venom PKO later in the month of January. We've also got our weekly $1,000 free roll, the TPE free roll on ACR Poker each and every week. Get in the Discord. There's a link in the description. Just click it and join the Discord, and you can find out how you can enter this week's $1,000 free roll, courtesy of ACR Poker. My name is Clayton Fletcher, and every week I tell you what beautiful, bucolic, opulent place I'm in. But this week I can actually say I am in a beautiful place. I'm in the middle of the Caribbean Sea on the MS Legend. That's right, guys. I'm on a cruise ship right now, but nothing, and I mean nothing, will stop me from fulfilling my goal of bringing you an episode each and every week in the year 2024. What kind of podcast host would I be if last week I told everybody, yeah, we're going to do 50 episodes, and then this week, just because I happen to be in the middle of a giant body of water, I failed to bring you an episode. No, I'm here for you, and you're here for me. We're here for each other. TPE Nation all day, every day. Let's talk about last week's episode. You guys are so great with all of your comments and responses to my goal setting that I did for the year last week. Of course, one of those goals is 50 episodes for you, the listener, this year, but I have a lot of other things in mind, and many of you are also sharing your goals, either in the Discord or on Twitter, at Clayton Comic. Let me know what your poker goals are for 2024. Let's be accountable to each other. Let's look back in 12 months and say, did I do it or did I not? If I missed, by how far? If I crushed, by how much? These things are important. Without a goal, there's nothing to shoot for. So yeah, share your goals. Let me know what you guys have in mind and try to make them actionable. Not just, I'm going to win 5 bracelets, but hours spent doing this or buy-in spent doing that, whatever the case may be. That's the kind of stuff we're looking for. And let's all support one another in our respective quests for poker excellence. All right, let's talk about the hands that we reviewed last week from the 2023 World Series of Poker main event. There was one that we can really only look at pre-flop, as you know, GTO Wizard. Like most other simulators, AI, and solvers, is better at heads-up than it is at multi-way pots, where there are just exponentially more options and possibilities. But this first hand, we had Jackie Burkhart opening under the gun with her ace five of spades, and of course the solver approves that. Raising with this hand from any position first to act is always approved at this stack depth of over 100 big blinds. And then in second position, a Canadian player named Vaders called with the 10-9 of clubs. And last week on this podcast, I pretty much gave him an incredibly hard time for doing so. I even said that this is a sign of a good game, is if you're getting called, when you raise under the gun, you're getting called on your immediate left by 10-9 suited, that's a sign of a good game. And that's based on all the studying of preflop charts that I've done in my life. But clearly, I need to study more because the solver actually does not hate this decision by Mr. Vaders. Yes, it is often a fold, but about 45% of the time we can call with this hand. And I'm trying to figure out why. I mean, my reasons for folding it without too much thought is that you're going to be in the worst relative position, right? The player who's most likely to bet the flop is now going to be on my immediate right. It's fairly likely that someone else on my left will join the fray. And so then I'm going to be kind of in a sandwich situation and all of that. Also, 10-9 is easily dominated by a lot of our opponents' ranges, so I just thought it was a pretty clear fold, but boy was I wrong. It turns out, because this hand can make the nuts, or a very strong hand with a flush, and because, of course, we are deep enough to call a 3-bet, I guess we're just supposed to get in there more often than I thought we should with the 10-9 of clubs. I'm still going to stand my ground a little bit here, guys, and just say, if you're like me and you would normally just fold this hand, even with deep stacks, you're not really giving up that much equity in doing so. Because we're not robots, we don't play perfectly, and a lot of things can go wrong with a hand like 10-9 of clubs. But anyway, yeah, that is approved to the tune of 45%, although the solver does slightly prefer folding. Shock and awe, shock and awe. The next player folded, and then the player after him, I don't even think I mentioned this last week, but folded pocket sevens, which is a pure call, a 100% call, according to GTO Wizard. So then the cutoff called with king-queen offsuit, which the solver doesn't like at all. This is either a fold most of the time or an occasional 3-bet with different sizing, you know, options presented by GTO Wizard. So that really came as a surprise to me. I can kind of see why, though. This hand does not play particularly well multi-way. Maybe a suited version you can call a little bit more. But yeah, you kind of want to thin the field, buy the button, build a pot in position. There are so many reasons to 3-bet. And I think that given that the original raise is under the gun, this is just a fold. And that's what the solver wants to do most of the time. From there, we folded to the big blind who called with a great price with the 8-6 offsuit, and the solver hates it. The solver has this as a 100% fold, which frankly shocked me. I mean, the player's getting something like 10-1. On a call, and we can't call with 8-6 off. So the solver really doesn't like offsuit unpaired connectors multi-way, and I can see why. It is a call, by the way, if you have 8-7 offsuit. It's really that gap that makes the big difference here. So that is the output from last week's first hand, according to GTO Wizard, which really just surprised the heck out of me in so many different ways. I'm very surprised about the 10-9. I'm a little surprised about king-queen, and I'm shocked about the 8-6. So that just shows me how much more studying I have to do. Multi-way, pre-flop action. How many mistakes am I making when I sit down to play in tournaments that give you 100 big blinds or more? I don't know, guys, but I'm definitely going to be doing some more work using GTO Wizard, which, by the way, I highly recommend this tool, you guys. You can plug things in very quickly and easily. It's super user-friendly, easy to use. You can study, you can practice spots that you have trouble with, and learn what the GTO solutions are to this, that, and the other. And it's very easy and intuitive, what I would call user-friendly, even for a tech loser like me. I'm not good at things like figuring out technology and dealing with complicated software, and other solvers I've tried in the past have not been as easy for me to understand and use as GTO Wizard. So I'm recommending you try it. You can, if you want to sign up and register for GTO Wizard, you can click the link in the description of this podcast. And then when you do make your first purchase, you will save 10% off of that first purchase by using the link in the description of this podcast and joining the GTO Wizard family. All right, let's look at the other hand we discussed last week. A guy named Cohen, a young man with a Mexican flag by his name, raised it from the cutoff with 9 of diamonds, 8 of diamonds. Obviously, solver approves this 100%. This is always an open at this stack depth. And then while distributing shots to his opponents, Mr. Jimmy D decided to 3-bet with the king 6 offsuit, which the solver would never ever do. This is a pure 100% call. We don't mix king 6 off into our 3-betting range from the big blind after a cutoff open. I think most of you knew that, but it's worth saying the solver does not approve. So what we'll do for the rest of this hand, since it is a heads-up pot and we can go through each decision Mr. Cohen made, we can't really look at Jimmy D's play for the rest of the hand because he's not supposed to have king 6 at all in his 3-betting range pre-flop. So we'll just look at the rest of the decisions in Cohen's shoes. So responding to that 3-bet, Our friend Cohen decided to call with the 9-8 of diamonds, and the solver likes it. Although it does fold about 25% of the time, it is a 75% call, so points for Cohen on that one. And then the flop came Jack-7 deuce with one diamond. You guys may remember this hand from last week. We flop a gut shot and a backdoor flush draw. And then the C-bet from Jimmy D and Cohen calls. The solver approves. It's a pure 100% of the time call, never raising with this hand. That's a little bit interesting to me because I think some of us may start the aggression on the flop when we have so many good turn cards that we can follow up with. But no, in this spot, we're just calling with a draw to the nuts. Let's see if we can get there. And then the turn came the tray of hearts, at which time Jimmy D bet 500. I mean, what are we doing? Remember from last week, a 1/40th of the size of the pot. Yeah, of course, Cohen calls that, along with any other teensy type of bet. And also, important to note that had Jimmy just checked, then Cohen would have checked behind 100% of the time. We never bluff on that turn card, which I also found interesting. Now the river comes the Jack of Clubs, and Jimmy D bets 1/3 of the pot. And you may recall, I was surprised last week, Cohen decided to shove and put Jimmy D to the test. And of course, Jimmy D just had King High and had to fold. And guess what, guys? The solver does not hate it. According to GTO Wizard, this is an 85% fold, but a 15% shove. So Cohen found that 15% there, and it worked out for him this time. I thought those hands from last week were interesting, and nice to have GTO Wizard to kind of check lines and see how far outside of GTO strategy some of our opponents are in real life. So let's look at a few more hands from day 1B. This was a pretty entertaining stream. If you have Poker Go, I recommend going back and watching 2023 World Series of Poker main event day 1B. Jimmy D is a very friendly and fun-loving recreational player. Great to have at the table. It seems like he's having a good time and that most of the players around him are enjoying his shenanigans, his antics. But let's go on to another hand from that same level. It's 200-400 with a 400 big blind ante. And in this hand, we are under the gun. A player named Kono, who is from Japan, he's wearing a GG Poker jacket. I don't know if he's a pro on the site or if he is just a person who likes to wear their clothing, or perhaps he is a satellite winner who got flown to Vegas by GG Poker as part of their satellite program. I really don't know, but he has shown himself to be very loose and very aggressive, involved in a great number of pots so far here in level 3. And he opens under the gun to 1,000. I'm not going to reveal his hand just yet. The action folds around to our big blind, Vaders, who is a Canadian player. And he's got the King of Hearts, 10 of Clubs. Now, if this original raise had come from late position, not under the gun, maybe from the button, you could make a case for 3-betting with this hand. But as it stands, I actually think we have a case for folding this hand, but I'm not about to. Not against this player, not against Kono from Japan, who likes to play a lot of pots. His under-the-gun raise gets a lot less respect than a tighter, more solid player's under-the-gun raise might. And so, as a result, he gives action, and he's about to get some. From me, I would call and see a flop from out of position with King 10 offsuit, which is exactly what our Canadian friend Vaders does. Just for the record, Kono has 43,000 in his stack and Vaders with 68,000. So we are very, very deep. Each player with over 100 big blinds. And the flop comes Queen of Hearts, 10 of Diamonds, 4 of Hearts. Queen 10, 4 with 2 hearts. And our hero, Vaders, has the King of Hearts, 10 of clubs for second pair. So what to do now? There's 2,600 in the pot. Vaders decides to check to the raiser, which I think is pretty standard here. So we check it over, and then Kono bets 800 into the 2,600 pot. So should we fold, call, or raise? I think we can eliminate folding. You know, we didn't call against this aggressive player so that we could flop middle pair and then just go away. So we're in there. Do we want to call or check raise? I think check raising has a lot of merit in this spot, you guys. I think that when he bets 800 into 2600, it's a really good flop for his whole range. He could have a lot of ace high right now. He can just have so many hands. I feel like check raising will probably clean up some of the equity, get a lot of folds from hands like ace five suited or maybe pairs like pocket eights. But the problem with check raising is that we really can't get a better hand to fold. Maybe pocket jacks, but I doubt pocket jacks is just going to fold for one check raise. I mean, we could easily have a draw like king jack or any two hearts. So I don't love it for that reason. I typically like to check raise only when I can either get a better hand to fold or a worse hand to call. And this feels more like it would just be for protection against an ugly turn card. Maybe there are a few hands, possibly jack 10 could make the call. But yeah, the group of hands that can actually call this check raise that we are actually beating is a fairly small group. And so I would prefer just checking and calling in Vader's shoes. And that's exactly what he does. So now with 4,200 in the pot, we're going to see a turn card. And that is the tray of diamonds. So our board is now queen of hearts, 10 of diamonds, 4 of hearts, tray of diamonds. So two hearts and two diamonds out there. Hero with the king of hearts, 10 of clubs. Still second pair on this board. And Vader's decides to check again. I think it's fine if you want to lead sometimes here on this turn card. We do charge the draws by doing so. And depending on sizing, we might be able to get called by ace king or something like that. I don't know though. I still feel like checking makes sense and it's probably the standard and correct play. So Vader's does check. And this time Kono overbets, putting in 6,000 into the 4,200 pot. Now this is a very polarizing bet by our Japanese friend. I don't know what to make of it. I mean, I've got a pair of tens in my hand. I don't know what exactly Kono is trying to represent with this bet. I mean, would he make this play with pocket aces? I guess he could, but isn't he afraid that I might have him beat? I don't know. It seems like an odd play for any one pair type of hand. And so perhaps a lot of the range that makes this bet is draw heavy, something like king jack, possibly with a flush draw. That would be a monster draw, and it would make sense to overbet with it because you still, at the end of the day, just have a draw at that point. He's clearly trying to get us to lay down a one pair hand ourselves, like possibly a queen or a 10. Obviously, he doesn't think he can blow us off of anything stronger than that. So he probably put us on exactly what we have, like a pair strong enough to check call the flop, but hoping that we don't have a strong enough hand to call the turn. To be clear, our hand has become a bluff catcher. Now, if he bets smaller, it's not just a bluff catcher, but when he bets this much, he's either got it or he doesn't. It's very polarized, and there's no way he's value betting with worse than a pair of tens at this point. So what to do? I don't know. I usually fold in these spots. Maybe I'm too weak, tight or something. I just never heard myself described that way before. That's why I'm laughing. I don't know. These spots get really murky, especially on day one of the main event. I find players don't really put in the big bluff that often. Now, we have been observing this Kono, and he has been quite aggressive. So if there is a player at this table who's capable of putting in a big bluff for 150% of the pot, this is that player. I don't know if that's reason enough for me to call with a pair of tens, especially with a whole other street to play afterwards. I don't know. I think maybe we just cut our losses. We'll get him next time. Maybe if I would have picked up a flush draw on the turn, I could justify it easier. I don't know. Maybe I'm getting outplayed a lot, but I'm just going to fold my king 10 right here and now rather than paying off that 6K and trying to figure it out on the river. One important reason for this, by the way, guys, is that I currently have a medium strength hand versus a very large bet, and my hand is very unlikely to improve. So adding all that together, it just feels like a spot where, look, I know you're bluffing sometimes, dude, but I'm not going to keep playing. You know, white flag time, I'm out of here. However, Vader's does make the call, and now we're going to see a river in what has become a very large pot, 16,200 in the middle. And the river comes the seven of diamonds, completing the backdoor flush on queen 10, 4, tray 7. And Vader's checks one more time. which I think makes a lot of sense. What are we going to just come out with a bet here? We don't even have a diamond. But at that point, Kono does exactly what I feared the most, and he bets almost the full pot, 15,000 into 16,2, and it's up to Vader's, can you make another hero call like you did on the turn here on the river? I mean, look, players in position get to win more pots than players out of position. Do you really want to put in this much of your stack with just a pair of tens and a king kicker? I mean, I don't know. I don't know. I guess if you call the turn, you should call the river, but it's very loose and very spewy, and it feels like we're going to get outplayed a lot. You do need to be right about 33% of the time just to break even. So I don't know. How often will this be a bluff? Probably not as high as 33% of the time. Not on day one of the main event. It's not even dinner time yet. No, I might do it tomorrow, but not today. I'm out of here. You win. White flag time. And Vader's agrees with me. He finally does throw away the King 10. Turns out Kono was bluffing all the way with the Ace of Spades, 5 of Spades. So he flopped no pair, no draw, turned a gut shot, rivered a brick, and just decided to represent diamonds, I guess. I don't know. This is I can't wait to check this one on GTO Wizard next week. All right, let's do another one, guys. The very next hand, the action folds all the way around to the button, and it's my friend, Jackie Burkhart, that we talked about last week. She's got 35K in her stack, and she opens to 1,000, which is clearly the standard raise sizing at this table. Now, I say at this table because on some other table, maybe everybody's making it 1,200 or 1,500. And then on the table next to that, maybe they're just making it 800. So it will vary from table to table, but you will find in most tournaments that whatever the standard raise for the table becomes, other players will just kind of jump on the bandwagon and start making that raise sizing without really giving too much thought. And to be fair, with 100 big blinds, it doesn't make that much difference whether I make it 1K or 1100 or 900. You know, who really cares? It's really more about what happens post-flop. So Jackie makes it 1K, and then the small blind folds, and the action is on the villain from last hand, Kono of Japan, and he's got a 6 of hearts, 5 of hearts in the big blind, and he calls. I think that's pretty standard. I mean, I guess you could occasionally mix in a 3-bet, but, you know, let's not go too crazy. Let's just play a suited connector out of position versus Jackie. And the flop comes 9 of diamonds, 8 of clubs, tray of hearts, 9-8 tray rainbow, hero with the 6 of hearts, 5 of hearts, 2,600 in the middle, and the action is on Kono. He decides to check. I think we always want to check to the raiser, or basically almost always. And then Burkhart bets 700 into the 2,600 pot. I'm not crazy about c-betting this flop at all in Jackie's shoes. I mean, if you look at ranges, this is a much better flop for the big blind than it is for the button. Now, I realize that I have not yet revealed what Jackie has. But regardless, guys, we don't really want to be betting flops that are typically better for the other opponent, especially against a player like Kono. He's shown himself to be incredibly aggressive. He's not afraid to put a lot of chips in, as we saw in the last hand. To be fair, Jackie doesn't know he just had ace 5 in that hand, so don't blame her for that. But yeah, I think this is a good spot for a check back with Jackie's full range, whether she has a pair or two pair or even better than that. I think it's fine to just check it back and then maybe open up some bluffs on the part of Kono, and also keep the pot under control those times when she has a hand like ace-queen. She doesn't want to bet and get check-raised and then have tough decisions going forward. And it's just a better flop for him than it is for her, so she should not be betting this flop very often. That doesn't mean never, and if this is a low-frequency play by my friend Jackie, I have no problem with it. But I think we need to be careful about betting flops like 9-8 tray, no matter what we have, face down. Now, this might actually be a spot for Kono to go for a check raise. I mean, there are a lot of turn cards that can improve our hand, give us a gut shot, give us a flush draw, give us a pair of fives or sixes, right? So those are the kind of flops where they invite a check raise, especially when we just have six high. There's nothing wrong with bluffing with six high, because if you get 4-bet or 3-bet or 5-bet, you can pretty much fold your six high basically every time. So for that reason, I think I like check raising once in a while here. I think that folding, obviously, is okay, too, We just have six high. We have the bottom end of a gut shot. I think folding is totally fine. I think check raising is probably my preferred play. But Kono decides to just call, and I really don't hate him for it. We've got plenty of chips, and a lot of things can change going forward. So Kono does call, and now with 4,000 in the middle, we're going to see a turn card, and it comes the 10 of diamonds. So our board is now 9 of diamonds, 8 of clubs, tray of hearts, 10 of diamonds, and the action is on Kono, who I think should check, but he just bets out here. I mean, I guess he knows this flop is better for his range than it is for Jackie's, and maybe he's going to have more very strong hands on this turn card as well. But he puts in 1,300 into the 4,000 pot. And I still haven't revealed what Jackie has, but she thinks for a second and then makes the call. So now we're building a pot. We've got six high and we're building a pot. My kind of poker, right, guys? The river pairs the board. It's another 10. So our final board is 9 of diamonds, 8 of clubs, tray of hearts, 10 of diamonds, 10 of hearts. And now the action is on Kono, who ends up with just six high. I think this is the time for an overbet, right? I mean, even if Jackie has pocket kings, is she really going to call if I bet like twice the pot on this river? I don't think so. I think this is a spot for him to do as he did in the previous hand and really put his opponent to the test. And I like a very large sizing here, maybe not quite two times the pot, but let's say 150 to 170% of the pot should probably get it done a lot, even when Jackie's sitting there with an overpair. I mean, this is just a disaster. It looks like I let out when the 10 hit, and now I'm betting really big again when another 10 comes. So I've either got a straight, a full house, quads, a lot. The bottom line is we know we can't win at showdown if we check six high. We're basically just, you know, giving up on this one. And I feel like if we're going to bet the turn, we need to follow up with another bet on the river. Otherwise, it's fine to just check and fold on the turn. There's no reason to bet that turn card. But if you do, I think we need to follow through with this card. Kono disagrees with me and checks. And Jackie is very happy to check behind. All she has is the ace of diamonds, seven of hearts. And she wins a really nice pot with just ace high. So yeah, now I'm sure after he saw that hand, he really wishes he had examined the merits of following through with another bluff on the river. But that's results-oriented thinking. The bottom line is it's a better flop and a better board overall for Kono's range than it is for Jackie's. And so when you have a range advantage and a nuts advantage, you need to be the one doing the betting. And that'll do it for this episode. Boy, between talking about these main event hands played on the 4th of July and being out here in the sun in the Caribbean Sea, I am ready. I feel like I'm about to play the main event myself right now. Little do I realize I've got another 6 months to wait. But yeah, I'm getting excited for it. I'm ready for them to announce the full schedule soon. And I'm sure that you guys are too. Let me know what you think of these hands, as well as any other comments. Get at me on Discord or on Twitter at Clayton Comic, or just leave a review of this podcast on iTunes, Spotify, or wherever else you might be happening to listen. Also, guys, if you're not yet on ACR, it's a great time to join. You can get a 100% first-time deposit bonus up to $2,000 by clicking the link in the description of this podcast episode and using the promo code TPE. For everyone here at Tournament Poker Edge, with special thanks, as always, to our very generous sponsor, ACR Poker, I'm Clayton Fletcher. Thank you so much for listening. I wanna hold them like they do in Texas, please. Fold them, let them hit me, raise it, baby, stay with me. Luck and intuition, play the cards with babes to start. And after she's been hooked, I'll play the one that's on her heart. Oh, whoa, 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 whoa. I'll get her heart, show her what I got. Oh, whoa. Gambling is fun when you're with me. I love it.
it's not the same without a gun. And baby, when it's loving, it's not rough, it isn't fun, fun. Oh, whoa, whoa, oh, whoa, whoa, whoa. I'll get a heart, show her what I got. Oh, whoa, whoa, oh, whoa, whoa, whoa. I'll get a heart, show her what I got. Can't read my, can't read my, no, she can't read a mind. She can't read my poker face. She's got to love nobody.